Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Anthony Brooks, in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Summer's almost here, and with it, the season for vacation and travel. A year ago, the bad economy kept lots of Americans at home, but that's changing this year. Hotel bookings are up, travel agents are busier, even if Americans are still feeling pinched. My guests today say with a bit of creativity, planning, and flexibility, you can enjoy nature, go skydiving, take a cruise, and visit the city to take in a show for less. There are lots of bargains to be had. You might still have to rein in your budget, but not your summer fun. This hour On Point, summer getaways on a shoestring. Joining me now from Los Angeles is Catherine Hamm, travel editor and on-the-spot columnist for the Los Angeles Times. And Catherine Hamm, good to have you. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And joining us from New York is Pauline Frommer, creator of the Pauline Frommer Guidebooks. It's a series for budget-conscious travelers billed as Spend Less, See More. She's also co-host with her father, Arthur Frommer, of the weekly radio program The Travel Show. And Pauline Frommer, it's great to have you with us.
Well, it's great to be here, Anthony. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Catherine, let's start with you. The recession kept lots of folks home last summer. The theme was staycation. So what's the theme this year? What are you seeing out there?
We're seeing a lot of people who are cautiously optimistic. In fact, the vacation scene very much mirrors the national economic scene. As things begin to recover, people begin to recover their confidence. We're seeing an increase in air travel, we're seeing an increase in car travel. Things are generally looking up. Bookings are up, as you mentioned earlier. So I think people are ready to get back out there and do it.
Are there some facts and figures that tell us that this is so? Can you give us some of those?
Well, if you look at Memorial Day, particularly for our area, Memorial Day is always a good early indicator. And this year, for Southern Californians, the AAA reported that there was about an 8% increase in the number of people who were traveling on Memorial Day, and that was from last year. And that amounted to about 2.5 million Southland residents. So we take that as an early indicator, a good indicator of what's going to happen for the rest of the vacation season.
Hmm. Pauline Frommer, is this consistent with what you're seeing?
Absolutely. I mean, I hear a lot of word of mouth, but what we're seeing is that cruise ships are filling up to most destinations, not all. Actually, there are very good last-minute deals to Alaska that none of us would have predicted. Airlines are going out full. Hotels are still in trouble, and you can get very good deals on lodging by playing Let's Make a Deal with hoteliers. But there are definitely going to be many more people on the road this year than last.
And what's changed? I mean, we mentioned the economy is a bit better. I guess people are feeling a little more confident. I guess we're also dealing with a certain amount of pent-up vacation demand if so many people stayed home a year ago.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's the pent-up demand, and I don't think there's the stigma attached to taking a vacation this year. Last year, it was a little bit, it felt a little snarky to be going away when so many people were suffering from the recession. And now, as things, knock wood, seem to be getting a little better, although I'm not an economist, so I can't say that for sure, I think the stigma has been lifted.
Well, we're talking about vacations on a shoestring, or at least vacations for the budget-conscious traveler. Catherine, what are you seeing out there? What's the most popular kind of vacation that folks are doing?
Well, I think we're going to see this summer a lot of road trips. In fact, I'm almost ready to declare this the summer of the road trip, simply because gasoline prices are fairly stable. In our area, they're hovering around $3 to $3.12 a gallon, which is about 6 cents a gallon more, 6 to 18 cents a gallon more than they were last summer. So not a big difference. The other big factor in the summer road trip craze, maybe the airfares. Airfares are predicted to rise this summer between 13% and 24%, and we're already seeing that now. And that probably will have a huge impact, particularly on family travel.
And why is this happening? And I'll put this out to both of you. Pauline, let me start with you. Why are airfares up like this? We hear that air travel is in the tank. They're not turning profits, so the flights are more expensive. What's going on here?
Well, the airlines, to try and raise prices, basically pulled a lot of their planes from the skies. There's something like 2 to 4%, depending on the market, fewer flights available than last year, which was already down from the year before. So those seats that are left are a precious commodity, and the airlines are squeezing every last penny out of them. They've added surcharges to most days of the summer for high season travel. So basically any day you fly in June, July, or August, you're going to get hit with an extra $10 to $20 fee just to make sure that the airlines become profitable. And I'm not sure if we can say that they're bleeding money anymore. There have been reports recently that some of the airlines may be going into the black for the first time in a long time.
But are the days of cheap flights over for good, or are we going to see them come back at some point? What do you think?
Gosh, I hope not. You know, it really all depends on them being able to balance demand versus what's the opposite of demand? They have to keep their inventory fairly limited. But on the other hand, if demand rises, they're going to have to start adding more of those planes back, and then it becomes a juggling effort. And how well they juggle demand and supply will really determine if airfares go up or not.
We're talking to Pauline Frommer and Catherine Hamm about travel this summer and budget ways to take your and budget conscious ways to take your vacation. Let's go to Debbie, who's calling from Nashville. Hi, Debbie. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
I have decided my aunt has been in Copenhagen for 30 years because she married a foreign exchange student, and I've never once gone to see her. And so I decided to go. All I have to do is buy the plane ticket, and I can just stay with her. And even though the plane ticket's not cheap, but I don't mind supporting a business that supports families. Even though that ticket's not cheap, that's the only thing I have to pay for. As you know, hotels could add up very, very fast.
Debbie, can I ask, what did the air ticket to Copenhagen cost?
I think after, you know, all the taxes and everything, it ended up $1,400.
Yeah, right. Mm. So what do you think, Catherine Hamm? Debbie's talking about staying with relatives, reasonable way to save some money.
One of my favorite ways of vacationing, and as I have said many times in the past, it's always great if your friends and family can move to accommodate your vacation whims. My parents retired in Southern California in 1974, so I had and was not living here at the time, had a perfect vacation spot in order to see the great Southwest. So I encourage people to, I don't want to say take advantage, but use wisely their connections with friends and family. It really does make a huge difference. Hotel bills can be the biggest chunk of a vacation budget.
Mm.
You don't have to limit yourself just to family. A lot of people now are staying with strangers. I have a friend who is a harpist in the National Tour of South Pacific. She has not paid a cent for lodgings in the last 8 months because she finds people all over the country who accept visitors into their home for free, just for the fun of it, through sites such as couchsurfing.com and globalfreeloaders.com. She thinks she's saved about $10,000 in her 10 months on or 8 months on the road now.
Now, Pauline, mention those sites again, because this is something I haven't heard of.
Oh, you haven't heard of Couchsurfers.com?
Couchsurfers.com. And this is essentially a network of folks who say, hey, if you're in town, stay with us. No questions asked and no bill.
She said she always wanted to be a teenager or in her early 20s in the 60s. She's only 40 now, so that wasn't possible because she wanted to see what peace, love, and happiness was like. And she says she's found it through couch surfing, that she meets these wonderful people who are doing kind deeds for others just for the fun of it. And she's gotten to know different places in a much more intimate way than she would have if she had been staying in hotels, because she's with locals and they know the best bars to go to and the best restaurants to try and parks where she can jog. So it's couch surfing. It might be .org. And the other one is globalfreeloaders.org. Those are the two I know of.
I've just been informed by my producer that it is couchsurfing.org. And
yeah.
And then the other one you mentioned, freeloaders.
Global freeloaders. And then there's also vacation exchanges, where you take your greatest asset, which is your home, and you say to somebody in a place you want to go, I'll swap with you. And we'll both stay for free, and we'll probably get a free car, we may even get free friends, because everybody's always worried you're going to bust up their place. And so they send over friends to check up on you, and you have an inbuilt social community.
Great idea. We're talking about sweet summer escapes on a budget. I'm Anthony Brooks in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be back after a short break. This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks, in for Tom Ashbrook. And let's take a call. Richard is calling from Framingham, Massachusetts. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well. What are your plans this summer?
Well, I'm going to stay away from airplanes. We have two kids, and flying, just the whole experience has gotten to be excruciating. Families of four generally having two kids carry large bags on board with them, so they're going to pay for the bags. So we're going to drive out to Western Mass, and we're going to go hiking on the AT.
That's the Appalachian Trail, right?
Right, exactly. And it'll be real. It won't be drive-in and plug-in camping. It'll be real traipsing with stuff on our backs. And I may get some initial complaints from the kids, but I think that they'll. I think they'll see what fun it actually is.
Well, Richard, it sounds like a great idea. And Catherine Hamm, I was doing some reading a little while ago, and I've read reports that people going to campgrounds, that campground business is way up this summer, or they're expecting it to be. It's already up this spring.
It's absolutely up, and we've discovered as early as April that many of people's favorite national parks were already booked for the year. That doesn't mean that there won't be cancellations, and people are well advised to keep checking. There's also the possibility, of course, of using private campgrounds, which are different, a little bit different from national park grounds in that they tend to be a little bit more lively. They oftentimes will have music, campground gatherings, activities, and so forth. They're a little bit different from national parks, but they all are much more affordable than getting on a plane and flying far away and spending big bucks for a hotel bill.
Now, Richard was talking about roughing it with his kids on the Appalachian Trail, but some of these campgrounds, too, have things like cabins and hot showers and all kinds of amenities that might work out as well for families and compared to hotels, really, really affordable, right?
Oh, absolutely. We were at the Grand Canyon, and then we went from there to Sedona, and we stayed at a private campground in Sedona, and they had at the office DVDs we could borrow to play and badminton sets and frisbees, and there was a pool, and it really felt like staying in a resort, except we were camping out. On the question of national parks, I have heard, Catherine, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, that a lot of them have the policy of leaving about a quarter of their campsites open to last-minute visitors. So, you know, it might be hairy to do that with a family in tow because you can't be sure of finding a place, but you may find room at the inn or at the campground even if you just show up.
Mm. Let's take another call. JP is calling from Hendersonville, Tennessee. Hi, JP. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to share in late August, last week of August, actually, my wife and I are flying from Tennessee to Richmond, Virginia, and when we got online, we found $9 flights. So for 40, 180, you know, it's $160, $80, I guess, round trip apiece, we're able to fly, which is much cheaper than we can drive there. Our concern is not concern, but our budgeting problem lies within the hotel stay. We wanted to stay, you know, in a reasonably nice place, but we're going to be doing historic sightseeing around Richmond, Virginia, and some of the other areas, Williamsburg and places, Norfolk even.
Sure.
And just some thoughts from your guest about economical hotel values and maybe how to find them.
Well, polling former, let's start with you. Deals on hotels. What's the best way for JP to go about finding that?
Well, he may look into small B&Bs as opposed to hotels, especially in those destinations. If he's willing to do this, a lot of people in those very touristy areas rent out a room or two in their house. Often, usually the rooms will have private bathrooms, include breakfast, and they may be less expensive than hotels. You can find these B&Bs on such sites as B&B Finder. .com or in many guidebooks, actually. But I want to talk about one thing he said. He said last year he got a last-minute deal on airfare, so he's expecting to do that again. I would not expect that this year.
But he said he's already found airfare for $40 each way.
Oh, okay.
$80
I thought he was saying that he found that last August.
No, he's not. He's not with
he's
us.
Not
but
I'm, so, okay.
My understanding was he managed to find round trip airfare for $80 a piece there. So that sounded like a pretty good deal.
So looking at B&Bs rather than hotels might work if it's a long trip, staying loyal to one brand of motel or hotel could accrue enough points to get him some free nights. That might be a way to do it as well.
Catherine Hamm, other ideas about cheap places to stay?
Well, a couple of things. One is, if you're going to a place like Williamsburg, try staying a little bit farther outside. You'll find better hotel rates. I am also a big believer in Priceline. Priceline has saved me hundreds and hundreds of dollars on hotels. And with the help of such sites as Bidding for Travel, which can direct you to how to get the best price for the best hotel, I've scored some really great deals. And a third thing that I have not done but colleagues have done is through an organization called Airbnb, which is, again, renting out rooms in local homes for a fraction of the price that a hotel will cost you.
So there are three suggestions there, Priceline.com, Bidding for Travel, and Airbnb. All good suggestions.
Bidding for Travel as an adjunct to Priceline or even Hotwire can tell you how to go about getting the best hotel deals.
Great.
It's a site where people spill the beans on how much they paid and which properties they got. So it's a really great keyhole into Priceline's opaque structure.
Let's go to Alice, who's calling from Canton, Massachusetts. Hi, Alice.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I usually go to Paris, and I was laid off this past 2 or 3 months, and I was going to celebrate my layoff by looking at the euro, and as it looks like it's kind of going down, in other words, the dollar getting more healthy, I thought maybe Paris would be a good deal this summer, but listening to her talk about the expense on airplanes, I'm thinking, should I wait till October?
It's a good question.
Absolutely. Yeah, wait till October. Airfares will be down, and so will the euro, possibly. There have been all kinds of economists coming out just this week predicting that the euro may be at parity with the dollar by the end of 2010. And a number of economists from BNP Paribas, which is a major bank, and other firms are saying that they expect it to go to 116 to the dollar in the next month or so. So look at October. That's a great time for Paris, and it'll be much less expensive.
The shoulder season is always a great time to travel. And October, Pauline is absolutely right. You could find some amazing bargains. We saw one the other day with airfare to London and Paris, and including hotel for less than $1,000. But it was in the shoulder season, and in the winter is also a great time to find bargains.
Now, do I need to define shoulder season? I'm guessing what that means. That means sort of after the peak season, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like traveling in that period because it seems like everything is just a whole lot less crowded. And if you're in a place like Europe, you don't have to worry about being locked out of hotels and restaurants and all that sort of stuff.
It is sort of counterintuitive to the family vacation time. So whenever families are traveling, you're probably not going to get your best deals abroad.
Well, Alice, thanks for the call, and hope you make it to Paris. Let's go to Danielle calling from Quincy, Mass. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
It's good. I'm well, thank you. What are your plans this summer?
I was calling because I was going to suggest when you fly to London or to other parts of Europe to fly through London or Reykjavik, because a lot of the discount airlines go there, and this is something I do all the time because it's a lot cheaper to fly to those places. And I've flown to from London to Trumsa and from London to Trumsa, which is north of the Arctic Circle, for about $40 round trip. So, you know, the trip otherwise would be, you know, at least $1,000 more to go to that part of Norway. So that's something I always find is a great cost saver. So if you look around, a lot of religious communities have housing that you can stay in. So if you look up, if you're in Asia, looking up Buddhist monks' housing, they have travel lodges, and similarly, convents, and they often, and monasteries often have them too, and I've stayed in them for very little.
Well, a bunch of good suggestions there. Thanks, Danielle. Catherine, Danielle's talking about these discount airlines in Europe that where you can literally buy tickets in some cases for as little as the cost of the tax, just a few dollars. So get a foothold on the continent in London and then buy your discount ticket. Sound like a good strategy?
Absolutely a great way to travel around Europe for not a lot of money. The one thing that you do need to keep in mind is that these airports generally are not in city centers, so they'll be at the expense of getting from the airport to the city center, but again, using public transportation and other methods, you can generally minimize that. One other thing is, remember that there are a lot of fees sometimes associated with discount airlines, including baggage fees, fees for using the loo. So keep that in mind as you're planning your budget.
It's a good.
Yeah, she's right.
It's a good warning. I flew one of those discount airlines a couple of years ago, and I got socked with a heavy bag fee that quadrupled the price of the ticket. It was shocking, actually. So it's a good warning to keep in mind. I'm here with Pauline Frommer of Pauline Frommer Guidebooks and Catherine Hamm of the Los Angeles Times. We're talking about budget summer travel. And I'm going to bring another voice into the conversation. Joining us now from Chicago is Molly Logan Anderson. She's a freelance writer and mother of three. Her article for the Gatehouse News Service this week is Shoestring Living, Summer Travel on the Cheap. And Molly Anderson, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Anthony. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. And you've been listening to this conversation. What are you taking away? What's your sort of headline for budget travel this summer?
Well, you know, our family is kind of in the place this year where we really can't swing the dream vacations, and we're not planning on flying anywhere. But we are trying to take advantage of the things that we can and sort of make a plan just to break that everyday routine that lots of young families and we're all in. So, you know, we try to come together as a family and make a plan where everyone has a voice, even the 4-year-old, 6-year-old, and 8-year-old, so they all kind of feel like they have some choice in what we do over the summer, whether it's a trip to the Indiana Dunes in our neck of the woods or maybe a Six Flags thing or even a neighborhood camp out. We just try to do some little getaways peppered throughout the summer to make it feel like we're getting that break.
So you're not actually planning a trip where you're taking off for a week or two, for example?
Well, we actually are. In addition to those little things that we're doing, we're also going to be visiting my husband's family in North Carolina. We'll go to a lake house for a week, and we'll all stay there together and enjoy that lake living.
Well, that sounds nice. And you're going to be driving?
We are going to be driving, but we'll have to stay overnight with those three little kids in tow. We're going to have to get a hotel halfway somewhere along the way, and we'll, you know, try to take advantage of, like, debit card thank you points or something like that to eliminate some of that hotel cost and take the expense of the travel down for us.
Catherine Hamm, obviously people are going to save a lot of money if they drive, as long as it's within, I guess, a few hundred miles. But what do we need to be aware of? I mean, this sort of benefit of the cheap cost of driving, is there sort of a caution here that people need to consider?
Well, the one caution that I would add to this is that remember that the cost of car travel is not just how much you pay per gallon of gas. It's the cost of operating your car. And before you undertake any car trip, of course, you need to go in and have the car checked out, make sure those tires are good, make sure the oil is clean, make sure that you're ready to go, because a breakdown on the road can pretty much put a giant crimp in your vacation plans.
Hmm. Let's take one more call before the break. Let's go to Bernie, who's calling from Sanford, Connecticut. Hi, Bernie. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. What are your plans this summer?
Well, not too much this summer. We are taking a road trip to my wife's farm in west central Illinois from Connecticut. But beyond that, we are also flying to the same place this coming weekend for her high school reunion.
All right.
Aside from that, our travel had been earlier in the year, and also we're going to Florida for a couple resorts in December. Now, the main thing I wanted to bring up was about that hasn't been mentioned is about timeshare, points-based timeshare slash vacation clubs. By belonging to these things, you're owning it like real estate in a way. It's old-fashioned or traditional timeshare where you own a specific week at a specific resort in a specific unit. This is a points-based club. The most prominent ones I know of that I can say on the air probably are Blue Green and Diamond Resorts International. There are others, but the point is you own X number of points. You pay for them like you buy in real estate. Sometimes you even have a deed for a resort, but you don't necessarily stay there. And you have a choice of all the resorts domestically or internationally that the particular plan owns, plus affiliates, plus RCI or II exchange, Interval International or RCI exchanges. And the costs do involve maintenance fees for the year, but overall, when you go to stay on the normal, using your normal points, you're not paying anything.
I see. Bernie, thanks. That sounds like a great suggestion. This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks. Pauline, Bernie was talking about timeshare and points, and
yeah.
This isn't actually locking yourself down to the same place at the same time every year. He's really describing something different, isn't he?
That's the theory. I know there are a lot of people happy with their timeshares, but with this recession, a lot of people have become increasingly unhappy with their timeshares. Because so many people defaulted on their timeshare payments, maintenance costs have risen drastically for the people who are still doing timeshares at many resorts. Not all, but many. And a lot of people also find that if they're not careful about the week they get for their timeshare that they have to switch, that they're stuck with something that they don't really want. And if you buy a timeshare new, and 10% of people who sit through timeshare presentations end up buying, which is a very high sell-through rate, and talks to the really strong and persuasiveness of these types of salespeople, if you buy one new, you will never recover your money in terms of it. It's not a good investment. Mm. It deteriorates in terms of how much it's worth the longer you have it. I am not a fan of timeshares. I know others are. I don't think you save much money by using them.
All right, Pauline Frommer, stand by. Catherine Hamm, Molly Logan, we're going to be returning to you after a brief break. I'm Anthony Brooks in for Tom Ashbrook, back after a short break.
Take me on a permanent vacation.
This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking today about summer vacations on a shoestring. Pauline Frommer is with us. She's creator of Pauline Frommer Guidebooks, and she's the co-host of the radio program The Travel Show. Also with us, Catherine Hamm, travel editor and on-the-spot columnist for the Los Angeles Times. We also have Molly Logan Anderson, a freelance writer, and her article for the Gatehouse News Service this week is Shoestring Living, Summer Travel on the Cheap. And Molly, I want to, before we have to let you go, I want to just ask you one question. We're interested in different kinds of vacation for different demographics, and it seems like you could speak most knowledgeably about planning a summer vacation on the cheap with kids, because that's what you do. What's the best sort of vacation for folks with kids, thinking about how to get away on a budget?
Well, I think anytime you can go somewhere where you have some outdoor activities, kids just love that, and you can't go wrong. And going in with other families or relatives always makes that more affordable. And like we've all said, driving can be cheaper than flying for sure. And so getting there and where you stay could really keep those costs down. But, you know, if you have to really tailor things back this year because the budget's not there, maybe it makes sense to just take day trips or quick road trips or overnights. And a lot of families especially have access to great opportunities at the end of the school year. Like in our school district, kids can do reading contests and come home with, you know, amusement park tickets for all the kids that participate. And that can save $100 or more, depending on how many kids you've got in the school district and planning that trip for. So I think it makes a lot of sense for families to really pay attention to the resources that are out there, use those, and use credit card points if you've got those coming in, and just try to keep costs down in every way that's available to you.
Well, Molly, thanks so much for joining us today. We're very grateful, and wish you a great summer with you and your family.
Thanks. The same to all of you.
Thanks very much. That's Molly Logan Anderson. She joined us from Chicago. She's a freelance writer. You can find her, follow her on her blog, Butterflies and Mud Pies. She also wrote an article, Shoestring Living, Summer Travel on the Cheap, for Gatehouse News Service this week. And Catherine Hamm, Pauline Frommer, I want to pick up on this theme about vacations for other demographics, but let me come back to that in a second. I want to get one more caller on the line. We've got a lot of calls piled up here, actually. Let's go to Allison, who's calling from Boston. Hi, Allison.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
What's on your mind, Allison?
Well, actually, this summer I'm doing a couple of things. I'm going to take advantage of free rooms that I have at casinos. So we're going to Las Vegas. And we're going to stay at the Venetian or the Palazzo. And all their rooms are suites, so their rooms usually cost like $600 to $1,000 a night. So we'll be getting that free for four nights.
No, that's a great deal.
Yeah, it really saves money. And when I got these free rooms, I really didn't gamble that much. I probably spent about $200, so I really am saving money. And also we're going to Connecticut to Foxwoods, I think, or MGM, one of those.
One of the big casino resorts. Now, when you say we, who are you traveling with?
My mother, my two-year-old daughter, and my sister.
Well, this brings Allison, thanks for that call. Pauline, let me come to you.
Yeah.
Sticking with this theme about sort of best vacations for different demographics, what about picking up on what Molly said? She talked about the perfect vacation for families with kids. What about a couple, for example, a young couple?
A young couple, I would say that they can go pretty much anywhere. A city-based vacation can be a lot of fun for a young couple, or a road trip. I'm not sure that demographic is really constricted in any way. That's kind of the ideal demographic. But let me talk to, if I could just make a comment on Las Vegas.
Sure.
Las Vegas has added 12,000 new rooms in the last 6 months, which is why all of the casinos there are so desperate to get people into their rooms, because really what they want to do is get you in front of the slot machines.
Mm.
So there are incredible values in Las Vegas. If you are thinking of traveling there, at Play Let's Make a Deal, they're going to throw in lots of free incentives, not just rooms, but meals, tickets to shows. They need you in that city right now.
Interesting. Let's go to Joanna, who's calling from Windsor, Connecticut. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, Anthony. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm an artist, a visual artist, a painter, and I'd like to mention that most of the national parks have artist-in-residence programs where you apply to them, and if you're selected, they will put you up in, you know, give you accommodations within the park, and you just have to pay for your transportation and your food while you're there. But it's a perfect vacation opportunity to spend time at a beautiful, inspirational place, do your work. They will promote you as an artist, and you, in turn, are usually asked to donate a painting or do a lecture demonstration, so you help promote the park as well. But I did two last year. I was in Acadia National Park and Weir Farm. And this fall, I'll be going to Mesa Verde for a couple of weeks, staying in a beautiful pueblo just in walking distance from the cliff dwellings.
It sounds like a great opportunity. Now, are you expected to produce anything? I mean, are they just like having you there and like the idea of having an artist in residence, or do you need
to? Yes, because you help promote the park. They'll usually ask you to either donate a painting or do some kind of a presentation for the public, so you're helping promote them a little bit. But it's just a fabulous experience.
That's a great suggestion. Well, Joanna, thank you very much for your call. Catherine Hamm, other opportunities along those lines, sort of ways of people picking up on free accommodations to we lost Catherine, so we're going to ask the same question of you, Pauline Frommer.
sure.
Other opportunities where there might be opportunities to promote a particular place or resort and get a discount.
Absolutely. Well, if you like to dance and you're a man over 50 years old, they have gentlemen hosts on many of the cruise lines, and they're just there to dance with the single women. So you can do that, and many of the cruise lines also offer hire people to give enrichment lectures. So if you have a specialty and you really have a name for yourself and you think that this could work for you, this is a great way to get a free cruise. And, you know, back to the national parks, they are going to be so jammed with art this summer. For example, Canon Cameras is giving out free classes in all of the national parks in photography. And they're not only going to have experts teaching photography, they're going to lend you their equipment. So that's happening in Yellowstone and Acadia National Park and Grand Canyon. Really top people teaching these classes absolutely free. So that's another reason. Not that you need that many to go to the national parks. They really are the greatest type of vacation in the U.S., I think.
Let's take a call from Bruce, who's calling from Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Bruce.
How are y'all today?
Very well, thank you.
A great subject. I get on a website and I look for stuff that people have bought over the internet, and I have access to a trailer, so I can take a trailer. But I get stuff that I get from people that bought something and have no way to get it to them, so I put a bid on it and I get paid for, traveling. So I get all of my expenses paid, plus I usually end up making about $100 a day on top of it.
That's so interesting. So wait a minute, let me just get this straight. So basically you're providing a service to deliver merchandise that's been bought and sold on the internet, and you're the guy who goes and picks it up and delivers it, and then in the process you take a trip.
Correct. Like my wife and I just came back from Orlando. We spent 4 days in Orlando at the expense of someone else.
Isn't that great?
The motel we got for, online, really, really cheap, so in the motel, but by the time I figured in my expense from what I hauled from Washington State to Tampa, Florida, the expense paid for the, the 3-4 days in the motel.
How do you find these customers? That's
exactly
fascinating.
Exactly my question.
Can I say the website on there?
I think you can. Yes, you can. Bruce, you can say the website on there. Are you still with us? I think we lost Bruce. We'll try to get that website and put it on our website, or maybe my producer can say it in my ear when we get it. But yeah, that was an interesting idea, right, Pauline?
Absolutely fascinating. I've heard about auto drive-away programs where someone is moving across country but does not want to drive their own car there. Mm. And so you get a free car rental going from point A to point B, usually a long distance, and they get their car moved for free. But usually you don't get paid for that. It seems like the last caller really has it sewn up.
Mm. Let's go to Jennifer, who's calling from Bedford, Massachusetts. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I'm watching the airfares go up and up and up, as the companies themselves had said, and I'm thinking about rail travel, and I look at the really cost-prohibitive nature of rail travel at Amtrak right now, and their fares are just so high, and I look and I think Amtrak really has an opportunity here to become more efficient in their routes and to lower their rates and to really grasp onto a market share that they probably don't currently have, and I'm wondering why they're not doing that. My children would love to travel by train, but it's so expensive, and their routes take so long. And so as the airfare continues to rise, why isn't Amtrak doing something to really grasp onto that market share of people who are traveling this summer?
Catherine, do you have an answer for that? I know this is a frustration for a lot of folks, especially people who are used to terrific trains in Europe, for example. It does seem to be quite costly to ride the Amtrak.
It can be quite expensive, especially with a family. If you're getting a roomette or a bedroom on Amtrak, it is a luxury. And I think that and especially in the United States, or particularly in the United States, we have to think of Amtrak more as a cruise line and not as transportation. I don't think Amtrak is in a place where it can financially afford to provide low-cost transportation. I think they're going to let the airlines duke it out and leave themselves in a different category, which is sort of the cruise line of on land.
So,
but that could change, Catherine. I mean, the problem is there hasn't been the will to sufficiently support Amtrak. You have to remember, in Europe, those rail systems are heavily subsidized by the government and quite honestly make the lives of the people in Europe much better. We have to start supporting Amtrak. We have to give them ownership of the tracks. Right now, they share the tracks with cargo trains, and that is why it often takes so long to get anywhere on Amtrak, because those cargo trains are given preference over passenger trains, which is why the system is rife with the delays.
I think you're absolutely right, Pauline, and I think that we're looking at this from kind of geographic different points of view here. In the East, it's very efficient to use Amtrak for long-distance travel or for travel because you can get from Washington to New York fairly quickly. In fact, in many cases, more quickly than you can by flying. Here, that's not the case so much. We have long expanses of the desert Southwest to overcome, and it's not quite the same as the Northeast, but I absolutely agree it is an issue for us nationally.
This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks. Pauline Frommer, I just wanted to give you and our listeners that website name that the caller was offering a little while ago. It's uship.com, the letter uship.com. This is the website for folks who want to go and collect stuff that's for sale on the internet and deliver it from the seller to the buyer and take advantage of a trip. So there's another idea. Let's try to get one more call, a couple more calls. And Bob is calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how you doing, folks?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Well, a couple years ago, my wife and I had visited Central New York, and we were talking to some of our friends about how beautiful it is. And they expressed real interest, and so I organized a trip and rented a 15-passenger van, and we split the costs, and I arranged the trip, and, you know, and we've gone up with, for the last, we'll be going in about 3 weeks, but this will be our third time.
And how many will you be? How many will you be, will be carpooling with you?
By the time we get through picking up a couple people along the way, we'll have 10 people in the van.
Wow. Thanks a lot, Bob, for that tip. Pauline, is that something you hear a lot about? And that does sound like an economical way to move around.
Absolutely. Sharing costs for anything, whether it be a van rental or a rental of a house, is a great way to save money. And, you know, it's the 100th anniversary of the recreational vehicle this year. So it's and I'm a big fan of those. You can stuff a lot of people into them and travel cheaply with them.
Let's try to get one more call in here. Rhonda is calling from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I took my two girls to Paris and Florence, and we were able to stay there free with families by using couchsurfing.org.
So that works overseas as well. We'd had a suggestion about couchsurfing.org earlier in the hour. I'm interested to hear that worked overseas.
A lot of single people use it, and so you have to be careful, but if you fill out the profile and you host families yourself, then families can still use this as long as you, there's something that's called vouching, and you can make sure that you're staying with safe people. So it was wonderful. It was like straight out of a Madeline book in Paris.
Fantastic, Rhonda. Well, thanks for that suggestion. I think that's one that a lot of listeners will appreciate. Catherine and Pauline, let me come to you first in just the few seconds that remain. When we're thinking about traveling and looking for cheap ways to do it and spend our time in the summer, what's the sort of number one caution that we need to be aware of?
Be flexible. It sometimes simply switching your vacation by one day or flying out of a different gateway than you expected to can save you lots of money. So that would be my top tip. I'm not sure if that's a caution, but that's a tip.
And Catherine Hamm, do you have a suggestion as well?
My top tip would be make sure that you understand and consider all of the costs of a vacation. It's not just the getting away. It's the how much you're going to pay to board Fido,
how much you're going to pay to have somebody watch your house. What are some of those hidden costs? How much, if you are flying, how much will you pay to park your car at the airport or to take a cab there? It's all of those things that can add up and really derail a vacation budget.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining us today and wish you both a good summer. Catherine Hamm joined us from Los Angeles. She's travel editor at the Los Angeles Times and author of On the Spot column. Catherine, thanks so much.
Thank you, Anthony.
And Pauline Frommer joined us from New York. She's the creator of the Pauline Frommer Guidebooks, a series of budget-conscious travel books. Thank you so much, Pauline. It was great having you as well.
This was fun. Thank you.
Our program today was produced by Ping Wong. Other producers at On Point include Julie Jopp, Sam Gale Rosen, Eileen Amata, Stefano Katsonis, Hillary McQuilkin, James Ross, Marieka Spence, and John Wibby. Our senior producer is Karen Schiffman. I'm Anthony Brooks in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.